If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com. Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. To Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you on Herb Talk. That's what we like to do. Thanks for joining us on the American Radio Voice Radio Network. We have a great show. We're going to be talking about a 20th century medical procedure called the lobotomy. yeah, it's kind of interesting how that got going. And also we're going to talk about flu and plagues. Because we've got the flu season, you know, coming up the winter. And we'll see how much time we have. We got some other stuff we can talk about and a quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to righteous men and women in uniform, praying for God's hand of protection beyond all of America. I pray for righteous leadership to be restored in this land, common sense, morality, you know, the list is kind of long. And I need supernatural help from the Heavenly Father above. So I'm hitting the knees, seeking the Lord's face, and pleading for truth and justice, just like Isaiah 59 says we should. We're supposed to plead to the Lord for truth and justice, and I hope y'all out there are making some noise about that,
because, you know, squeaky wheel gets the grease. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. All right, first up in the quack report, we got a pretty good sized quacker today. Rise of direct pay doctors is picking up steam, according to this report. Affordable Care Act seems to have caused some administrative burdens for doctors that they don't want. So there's an increase in doctors becoming direct pay, cash only practices. There's a couple of models that doctors' offices are using. Some of them are going with what I would call a spa membership kind of thing, where you pay a monthly due, and that gives you unlimited access to your doctor as far as visits. So there's all kinds of ways they structure it and just bypassing the third-payer systems and the Affordable Care Act and insurance companies. And it tends to lower costs for the patients that way. They have less overhead. They have less paperwork to file. They don't have to hire special people to deal with all that stuff. So that's interesting. According to a 2012 compensation report by a medical resources company called Medscape, 6% of the family doctors, 4% of the internists, and 2% of the pediatricians said that they were concierge, cash-only practices. By 2013, those numbers increased. It's family doctors 7%, internists 7%, pediatricians 4%. So, yeah, it's jumping. People are bailing on, the Ponzi scheme system, insurance, and Affordable Care Act. All right. Moving along in the quack report, I got a lot of brain news tonight. Some researchers, some robotic engineers in Spain, they figured out how brains can communicate brain to brain, a first time ever experiment, non-invasive. What they did is they put electrodes on the scalps of two volunteers. So while they were wearing these special devices, one man in India thought of a greeting like ciao or hola or something along those lines. Then the words were transmitted over the internet and received by the other man in France, 5,000 miles away, who read them on the screen. So the men could communicate between India and France without ever speaking or typing anything. What else is up in the quack report? Schizophrenia. They say now is actually due to 8 different gene disorders, according to a landmark research published this year. They say schizophrenia is more than just complex. Genetic scientists evaluated the makeup of 4,200 people that were diagnosed with schizophrenia and 3,800 normal people. And so they focused on not just the singular genes, but they were able to look at clusters of genes, and what they found were schizophrenia actually is a correlation of completely different groups of genes or to produce those symptoms. They said that the relationships are very strong in the individuals with these gene combinations. They had 100% chance of being schizophrenic if they had those gene combinations. Wow, that's incredible, isn't it? All right, what else is up? Oh, we're going to go to psychopaths now. Apparently, where does this, England universities, psychology students there in England at the University of Huddersfield, they gave some tests designed to detect psychopathic tendencies to adults. And they wanted to see if the psychopathic tendencies got categorized further, by these different correlations. And so what they were doing is they were showing these people images to see how excited they would get and track and record their responses. And what they noticed is that psychopathic tendencies, when they get upset or they're shocked by images, you know, sometimes psychopaths just aren't, you know, because they don't really respond that way. But they noticed that the higher the IQ of the psychopath, the more they were able to fake or mask their emotional responses and pretend to be normal. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Last but not least, in the quack report, Are you eating to impress someone? Well, according to Cornell University study that was in the Journal of Evolutionary Psychological Science, they found that men eat more when they're in the company of a female. Mm-hmm. So men who dined with at least one woman, they said, ate 93% more pizza and 86% more salad than if they dined with men only. So the amount that the women ate, whether they were dining with women or men, didn't matter. They ate the same. But men apparently overeat or eat more when they're with a woman. Now, women did say that when they're eating with a man, they tend to feel like they're rushed through the meal. That's weird. So the findings are suggesting that men tend to overeat to show off. I don't know. I don't know if eating compensations are, you know, mostly male, but that's what they're suggesting. I don't know. I think it's weird. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, we're going to be talking about lobotomies. That's a 20th century medical procedure. Mm-hmm. Well, a branch of scientific medicine is psychiatry. And the word psychiatry is really coined. It was coined in 1808 by a German physician, Johann Christian Reil. And the term stems from the Greek psyche, which means soul. So it seems the field of psychiatry was an attempt at, you know, medical treatment for the soul. So in this field, professionals attempt to study and treat mental disorders, and we call them mental health physicians. So this area of medicine actually was developed over the years and currently has three specialties. There is mental illness, there's personality disorders, and there's learning disabilities. So the modern world has been, you know, psychiatry has manifested from it's gone from a conceptual to a more biological field of late. So there are some former procedures, though, in this field of science that they use for depression and anxiety that were kind of unconscionable, to say the least. Let's take a look at it. But first, we want to open the old books. And according to scholars, the oldest books on psychiatry, guess what? They're from ancient India in the Averroic texts, Chakra Samhita. So India developed hospitals for, or what you would call insane asylums, in the 3rd century BC. And in the 4th century, the Greeks wrote theories on mental disorders, and there were books written on madness and being depressed. They called it being melancholy. Now, in the 5th century, the Greeks and the Romans considered mental disorders that were kind of psychotic in nature to be based in the supernatural, in other words, demon possession. Now, in most instances, patients were, you know, turned over to the religious leaders for exorcisms. And history also mentions how the field of mental illness blossomed in Persia and the Islamic countries. Wow. So here is where they began to classify neurotic disorders and cognitive therapy was born. So there were 4 classes of neurosis: fear and anxiety, anger and aggression, sadness and depression, and obsession. Now by 705 AD, Baghdad had a hospital specializing in mental illness, and by 800 AD, Cairo had one too. And by the 13th century, mental hospitals started kind of popping up all over medieval Europe. So the seed of psychiatry had been germinating, you know, from the late 1700s, but it did not really become a medical profession until the mid-1800s. So how mental illness, you know, was looked at kind of changed from a demon possession to a dysfunction of the brain somewhere in there. Well, let's look at some typical treatments. So when a patient is diagnosed by a mental health professional, there are several ways to approach the treatment strategy. Today, the main focus of treatment is the use of psychotropic drugs and maybe some therapy, but history shows us there was a very different treatment strategy, and it was used by licensed physicians, and they used electric shock and lobotomy as a treatment. So let's look at the lobotomy. It's really, it was called a neurosurgery because, you know, it was actually surgery on your brain. So a neurosurgery that was really not based on science but was based on an idea of theory was done for years, and they called it a lobotomy. And science still uses procedures and treatments today which are based on the theory, like your radiation, your chemo, and your vaccines. They're all based on theory. Now, the neurosurgical procedure called a lobotomy was a surgery that severed brain connections in the prefrontal lobe. So this procedure was legally done for over 20 years for patients that were suffering from schizophrenia, manic depression, bipolar disorder, hysteria, anxiety, and some other mental conditions. Now, a lobotomy purposely damages the brain and causes brain trauma, turning patients really into vegetables. So they become kind of catatonic. So the theory that science used to justify this procedure is that the surgery addressed the abnormal brain connections and corrected the bad behavior. Well, the instrument the doctors used to perform a lobotomy was essentially an ice pick. So a physician who specialized in lobotomies, traveling the country doing them and teaching other doctors how to do them, was Walter Friedman. So Friedman made lobotomies popular in the 1940s through the 50s. He performed thousands of lobotomies during his career, and he called the lobotomy a cure for mental illness when, in fact, he cured nothing. So a lobotomy is really an assault on the patient in which his conscious mind is murdered. So, however, for decades, scientific medicine called it a cure. So Friedman was a medical butcher who was awarded the Nobel Prize for medicine in 1949. Now, he once boasted that he took an ice pick, and it helped him perform, just your standard ice pick, help him perform 25 lobotomies per day. Okay, and he did this supposedly neurosurgical surgery within 10 minutes and without anesthesia. Probably saying, say what? Well, you'd think that if an ice pick was inserted into your eye socket and whisked around, scrambling your brain, that that would be excruciatingly painful, and it was. However, Friedman would stabilize his patients with a jolt of electricity first before he turned them into permanent zombies. So think of it as you were tasered before your brain was turned into scrambled eggs. So what this procedure did was make caring for mentally ill easier for hospital staff. That's what it did. Well, many people believe that doctors do not do lobotomies anymore. What do you think? Has medicine put that cruel and misfortunate error away, never to be seen by the light of day? Well, the answer is no. Medicine still performs this procedure, but they call it a lobectomy. So doctors will perform a lobectomy to try to correct epilepsy or other seizure disorders. Surgeons will remove the part of the frontal lobe where seizures tend to happen, so they don't happen. So there is really no ice pick involved, and surgeons tend to be precise. However, patients can experience a personality change from the procedure. So medicine experimented on dogs and learned that when the neurological connections were cut in the front part of the brain, it left the dogs quiet. So in the 1930s, the medical research called the era of this area of the brain that was being targeted by the lobectomy or lobotomy, they called it the seat of reason. They destroyed that part of your brain where you would have reason. Isn't that great? So when Friedman and his other colleagues moved from experimenting to humans, they were actually, at that point, drilling holes in skulls and guessing what part of the brain that they were cutting. So this was called Scientific Research, and it was published in the scientific journals. So the articles were written describing the patients as being violent and horrific burdens on their families, and that the procedure made them docile, cured them. That appeared in the New York Academy of Medicine in 1942. So although the lobotomy made patients catatonic, it became a standard practice in medical hospitals in the 40s and 50s. And it was, you know, comically referred to as the ice pick cure. Pretty sick. So they, to keep in mind, the lobotomy was not a precision surgery. It was shockingly brutal and barbaric. And in some instances, Friedman would recommend and perform a lobotomy to treat even headaches. Can you imagine? Well, in 1947, a study was done by Columbia Greystone Project. It evaluated the lobotomy procedure, and it showed that it failed to produce sufficient evidence of positive effects. It was a procedure that was criticized of having no scientific controls. Ethical objections started to accumulate, citing irreversible brain damage with severe collateral effects, personally and emotionally damaging the patient. So doctors opted to use antidepressant drugs because they just were developed, so they abandoned the lobotomy. But not before 70,000 people experienced the ice pick cure. More lobotomies were also performed in the United Kingdom, about 1,000 per year in that 10-year period between 1940 to 1950. So why was it so popular? Well, it was simple. It was a cheap operation. It made it easier on the caregivers. And countries which still perform lobotomy psychosurgery for violent behavior today are Japan, Australia, and Sweden. Mm-hmm. Let me read you this quote by Dr. Henry Marsh. He was a famous UK neurosurgeon. He said, "Lobotomy reflected very bad medicine, bad science, and if you saw a patient after the operation, they were totally ruined as social human beings." End of quote. Well, I believe it. I mean, you know, weren't the Egyptians, when they'd mummify somebody, they would, you know, put an instrument up someone's nose, whisk it around in the brain, and then drag out the brain? You know, well, at least that person was dead, right? All right, chemical lobotomies are now very popular. Today, modern medicine has actually traded the ice pick for Thorazine. So it is essentially a chemical lobotomy without performing surgery. So the rise of the antipsychotic drugs, antidepressants, has made nullifying a patient's conscience, seat of reason, much easier. So these drugs are used for the same reasons the ice pick was used. It is not a cure, but it makes dealing with the mentally ill easier for family and medical professionals. Therefore, patients on antidepressants and other mind-altering drugs really should research them carefully before using them. A lot of side effects. None of them good. Well, let's look at the nutritional alternatives, okay? Because you do have some. Actually, most natural physicians will try to address mental illness with nutrition in order to correct an imbalance in the brain neurotransmitters. So mentally ill people tend to have very poor eating habits. Now, we should pay really close attention to being, you know, maybe they're being vitamin deficient, and when they do check their vitamin deficiencies, guess what they find? They find them deficient in the Bs, the B2, the B6, the B12. And these are, you want to replenish natural B vitamins because this will help support the nervous system and help for normal transmission of the neurotransmitters in the brain, okay? A lot of times when they get the right Bs, they're not as talkative. You ever notice how some people talk all the time if they have a mental imbalance? You know, they get calmer. They're not talking so much. So a loss of normal levels of nutrition can leave us depressed, or we can get some other neurological health problems. And a lot of psychiatrists are turning to nutrition and to supplements to help their patients, and without drugs. So there you go. So if you're really looking for whole food organic supplements. You might want to call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They have the natural B vitamins and they have a whole lot more. A lot of your medicinal herbs are rich in nutrition to help the body balance. So ask them about their Body Foundation food mix, because it has natural vitamin B, your vitamin gamut, your natural antioxidants, your amino acids and plant proteins are in there, as well as minerals. Also, for anxiety and depression, you may check out valerian root or their emotional stress formula, which is all organic as well. And this is just nutrition helping the body balance and heal itself. So give them a call. Ask them for a free product catalog. Their number is 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. But if you're outside the U.S., you want to dial 704-885-0277 or visit them on the web, thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com, that's where your healthcare options just became endless. And by the way, if you're up there, sign up for their free online newsletters, which go out each week, and you can empower yourself further with more information and also save money. You get notifications on specials at the powerherbs.com website. So opt in, opt out, whatever you want to do. Okay, so let's see. What do we get? We got Thanksgiving coming up next week, right? See, we started the cold and flu season last month with Halloween because there was all that sugar. Now we got Thanksgiving. Of course, we're going to have some really great food, but we're also going to have some desserts, right? Yeah, more sugar. Maybe some alcohol, right? More sugar. And then we got next month. It's Christmas. Oh, yeah. Candy canes and all those special things that we like to eat at Christmas time. Of course, more adult beverages and more sugar. And then we move into New Year's. And, of course, we all know that alcohol converts to sugar in the body. So more sugar. And then we can't forget in February is Valentine's Day. More sugar, box of chocolates, and all this sugar suppresses the immune system, and this is why from October to February is the cold and flu season. Mm-hmm. Your immune system is low. Ah, you got to boost your immune system. Guess who has the immune-boosting formulas? Get you through the holidays. The folks at Apothecary Herbs, thepowerherbs.com, they have a full line, broad spectrum, more targeted formulas if you need that, like for sinus infections, for instance. You can get it for bronchitis. So you got options. You got lots of options. Yes, my engineer says, Frank, he says, yeah, it sounds like it's more like the diabetic season. Oh, I know. I know. But, you know, one candy bar shut off your immune system for 8 hours. Well, it suppresses it. And if you've noticed now, kids after Halloween have coughs and colds and runny noses and all kinds of stuff because, you know, they're basically Halloween put them in a sugar coma. So watch the sugar, folks. Really watch the sugar and boost the immune system. We can help you out. Thepowerherbs.com. Give them a call. Get their catalog. You can see how powerful you can be. Yep, yep. You don't want to miss work in school. Don't have to. 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. I got to take a break, but on the other side, we're going to talk about flu and plague. Don't go anywhere.
Life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
The ancient Greeks thought time herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. Henry Ford, the automobile. And herbalist Wendy Wilson? Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk Live.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless. And we're back here on Herb Talk.
Yeah. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. We're going to be talking about the flu or the plague. We're going to try to decipher the difference. You know, a lot of people say, well, I just got the flu. Well, maybe you got the plague. Well, let's look. Symptoms of serious disease actually fool even the most experienced doctors. And many life-threatening diseases can actually mimic a common flu with fever, chills, body aches, feeling weak. And so we risk, every day, if we delay not knowing what we have and we don't act on it, well, we could have something real serious. So is the infection bacterial or is it viral? Now, if it's bacterial, will it respond to antibiotic treatment? And Will trying such treatment, you know, sacrifice precious time and weaken our body further? Should we use something else? Now, in some western areas of the U.S., there's, you know, drought. People expect the usual drought from time to time. However, with deep aquifers, when they're affected, we could see fertile land revert to desert. If this is the case, there is a transition period where wild animals become desperate for water, like rodents, and they can infect domestic areas. They can infect your animals and then infect you with disease. So there's like 200 species of domestic rodents and other animals that can infect humans with disease. And, you know, the first recorded diagnosis of plague in the United States was in San Francisco in 1900. But by 1902, the plague took hold. Authorities really didn't want to panic. They didn't want to panic the public because it would have, you know, affected the economy. So this action actually led to basically having to quarantine all of California eventually. Air travel to countries that are active plague areas like Asia, South Africa, South America. Be careful there if you're traveling the holiday season. You want to research your destinations first. See what their environmental conditions are that may contribute to the spread of disease. So we should be ready to address any risk, no matter how remote it may seem. So let's look at the plague. Let's take a look at it, and we should notice how it progresses. So if a region gets the plague, it begins to see patches of bubonic plague, and we should maybe be on alert for specific symptoms. Aside from any flu-like symptoms, this bacterial infection likes to sink deep into your tissues of the lymphatic system. So your glands swell, your nerves will be pressed upon, causes tremors, high fever, creates extreme sweating, and of course cells under the skin tend to rupture, creating those bloody spots. And the glands of the groin and the armpit area produce painful swelling as the infected blood tends to pool there. So an infectious disease like this, bubonic plague, it goes back thousands of years. The Greek word for groin is bubon, with the root word being bubo, which means swelling. So patients with bubonic plague can die of sepsis, where the blood pools and becomes toxic and poisons them pretty quickly. And the disease then progresses pretty rapidly. It's contagious, and of course, now it's drug resistant. I don't know if they told you that. All right. Some ancient reports. There have been some antibiotics that people have used, as well as medicinal herbs to protect themselves from serious disease. One thing to consider is that the bacterial pathogens are really not resistant to your human immune system when they may be resistant to the drugs, the antibiotics. And so if you're using medicinal herbs to boost your natural function of resistance, then there's not going to be any resistance there. So the herbs provide a lot of proteins and minerals and enzymes and antioxidants, as well as vitamin nutrients, to the body and the immune system to fight off the infection. And on the other hand, if you're using antibiotics, sometimes they can be used successfully, but they have to be given within 24 hours if you get the plague. Antibiotics suppress the immune system in an attempt to poison the bacteria that you have in there. And if the bacteria is resistant to the antibiotic, it's not going to destroy it, and worse off, it's just, you know, suppressed your immune system and your antibody response is behind the eight ball, right? So you got to make a choice. You could be left defenseless, and it gives the disease opportunity to get a foothold. Now, scientific medicine has known since 1998 bubonic plague is totally resistant to all their antibiotics. So I guess that means if you get quarantined by the hospital, you know, what are they going to do to you? They got nothing. Well, let's look at some of the herbal antibiotics, the natural ones. In the 1700s, the word plague sent panic through a town or village, and most people had what was known as a poor man's antibiotic, garlic. That's what they had. Often garlic was used to flavor food, but it's also a medicinal herb. Over the last 100 years, scientific studies have discovered In part, what gives garlic its power over disease? Researchers in 1944 found a compound in the garlic that fights bacteria, viruses, and fungus. It's called allicin. So garlic's unique compounds enable the body to fight a broad spectrum of disease. So the allicin creates an anticoagulant and a lipid-lowering action to keep blood flowing, so no clotting or pooling throughout the body. And so the blood is the vehicle that brings the antibodies and takes away the infectious debris. So that's the key when you want to defeat plague. Keep that blood from pooling, and it won't get sepsis. Okay? Garlic's also an antioxidant, which is another action to help fight infectious microbes. It prohibits the blood from pressure from getting too high. And due to its complexity of garlic, science is really not done discovering its health benefits. Fresh garlic has more power because it will contain more of your enzymes called amylase. Research has shown that the enzyme is a catalyst that destroys microbes in about 10 seconds. Whew. Now, they've discovered also the enzymes that offer a defense mechanism in garlic against the disease. This enzyme is that pungent aroma you smell when you cut into garlic. So when you use a deodorized garlic, guess what you don't get? You don't get the defense mechanism. Uh-oh. So you want to make sure you get that really good smelly garlic, that pungent-y garlic. Awesome stuff. So don't leave the deodorized stuff at the store. Don't even bother. According to PubMed.gov, garlic has plenty of antibacterial action against gram-negative and gram-positive bacteria, including the multi-drug-resistant strains such as E. coli, Candida, intestinal parasites, and viruses. So you want to avoid microwaving or cooking your garlic. Heat will destroy the garlic's enzymes. It's going to be less effective. I mean, you can destroy your garlic if you microwave it and or cook it in less than a few minutes. So don't do that. So if you're going to add garlic to anything cooked in your dishes, do it at the end of the cooking on a low simmer. Also, cousin to the garlic is going to be your white onion, which contains more amylase enzymes. Often you could pair that with your garlic for some serious disease-fighting ability. The enzymes in these foods are activated when their dry and wet cells are merged together, creating a chemical reaction. It's called sulfenic acid and cysteine sulfides. So when you cut into garlic or onion, what happens is you're mixing the wet and dry cells together, and that's when you start to smell the pungent aromas. That's what's happening. It's a chemical reaction. And this creates the amylase in 10 seconds. This is your disease-fighting power. So this happens when your food is cut or crushed, and scientific research continues on garlic for its organic sulfur compounds used to fight chronic disease like even cancer and heart disease. So there's not really fully understood. Medical science doesn't totally connect all the dots on how our metabolism absorbs these medicinal properties in our herbs like garlic, and specifically the amylase. Perhaps the reason is there's several biological actions that are happening in the human body when you get garlic in the human body. There seems to be more than one allicin compound in your garlic, and it's really not clear how all these compounds influence the metabolism to target and eradicate disease. But through animal studies, science thinks that the medicinal properties of your garlic enter through the intestine, travel to the bloodstream. So when they test human consumption of garlic, they find that the properties of garlic are present in the blood, urine, and even your stool very rapidly. They can even predict how much of the garlic compounds are in the body fluids by testing your air when you exhale. You have garlicky breath. They can tell by that. They can measure your breath and tell, you know, how much garlic's now in your system. Science does suspect that garlic sulfides somehow strengthen and increase your blood plasma while decreasing your cholesterol. So the body uses the garlic to empower the liver to help with that function, because the liver's main function is to eradicate infection, to neutralize the infection. And according to Linus Pauling Institute, garlic offers an anti-inflammatory function as well, reduces inflammation to help white blood cells, your immune system, macrophages, your killer T cells. Okay? So according to controlled clinical trials, the garlic extracts or tinctures, your liquids that are aged, are going to be better and more powerful if they're made correctly. If they're a forced extraction, they'll probably be weaker than your cold-pressed variety, so keep that in mind when you're shopping. So if making your own garlic tincture at home, you want to age it 30 days for the best potency. You want to store it in a cool, dry place away from your heat and away from light. Kind of cover it, and it has a long shelf life of about 10 years if you're making a liquid. I tend to like to age my garlic in vinegar, you know. Vinegar is a great catalyst for garlic. Awesome stuff. And it can't go bad, really, because vinegar's already bad, right? It's apple cider that went bad. But if you're going to make straight-up garlic juice yourself, and by the way, if you have a copy of the Power Herbs book, you already know how to make it because it's in there. If you don't have a copy, pick one up. It's emailed to you. It's a PDF. You can download the Mobi or the EPUBs for your Kindle or iPad. So it's in several electronic versions, and you can do that on thepowerherbs.com. And the book's just $14.99. But getting back to your garlic juice, if you're making straight-up garlic juice, you're not aging it in a catalyst, and let's say you're using it first things maybe like warts or an ear infection or for impetigo, ringwort, whatever. You know, you label it, put it in a bottle, label that it's garlic, and the day that you made it, you pressed it, and it'll be good for about 6 months. Okay, so that's straight up garlic juice, no catalyst, no aging. It's just, you know, what you pressed. When it's golden, it's beautiful, and it smells great. It'll turn brown when it starts to go bad. So it'll go from a golden to a brown color. So that's when you know you need to throw it away. Otherwise, if you're using it in a catalyst of some kind, whether it's alcohol or vinegar, then it's got a 10-year shelf life. Totally, totally good to go. So now you want to beware if you're using garlic, if you're looking for the garlic that you want to use, whether you need it to help thinning the blood or killing bacterial infections or viruses, you want to make sure you don't get an elephant or hybrid garlic. So make sure you get the straight-up organic garlic if you're using that. So also, by the way, if you're a nursing mother, garlic does add flavor to breast milk. Infants tend to nurse longer when there's garlic in the breast milk. Okay, so if you have things like mastitis and you need to empty the breast, eat some garlic. The baby will nurse longer. Okay, also, nursing mothers that use garlic rarely have thrush problems. Thrush is a yeast infection that the baby can get inside the mouth, or the woman, the mom can get on her nipples. So use the garlic and avoid the thrush issue altogether, and you won't have to use the antibiotics or creams to get rid of that. Now, a lot of times we've been heard over the years, we've heard about the hemorrhagic plagues, the bubonic plagues, we've heard of the, you know, Ebola and all these things. Bubonic plague encourages a deadly form of pneumonia, which is contagious. For hemorrhagic diseases like Ebola, gentian root inhibits, science has known this since 2012, gentian root inhibits Ebola bacteria and virus, so you want to use that. If we have that at thepowerherbs.com, by the way, and you can just pop that in your pandemic kit, no problem, and you got that covered. So just, you know, add that to your pandemic kit if you're worried about hemorrhagic fever plagues and things. The thing is, you want to work fast, okay? You don't want to just be willy-nilly about it, you know. You can use your broad-spectrum herbs. You can use your more targeted herbs. And if you have any kind of report of a pandemic in your area, you know, just crack open that pandemic kit and start using the formulas as instructed. And this will heighten your immune system, okay? So, but if it's in your county, that's the time when the reports of a, you know, some sort of pandemic plague in your county, that's the time you want to start using those kits. DNA gene science reports 15% of Caucasian Americans have a natural protein that makes them more immune to bubonic plague. That's interesting. So, you know, Caucasians have an upper hand there. If you do come in contact with bubonic plague, you got to work fast because the disease, it goes rapidly. You can die within 3 or 4 days. So quarantine of bubonic plague is a challenge as people are carriers before their symptoms start to develop. So you definitely, well, the Black Plague in, you know, Europe, and people wanted to know how the grave diggers weren't getting sick. It's because they were using some broad spectrum herbs to protect them. And you can too. So here's what I do. I have on hand for any kind of plague outbreak, bubonic, Ebola, whatever. I have my gentian root. I have my anti-inflammatory formulas. I have my blood cleanser. I have my immune boosters. And, of course, I do factor in for synergistic effect to make the others work better. The other formulas work better, the ginsengs. And I do have the all-in-one, which is that old-fashioned herb plague tonic. Every village and town who had an herbalist that made that, they had low mortality. Okay? So, also, you might want to add in a little milk thistle. Milk thistle helps the liver. The liver has to produce a P450 enzyme to neutralize toxins, poisons. So a little boost to the liver isn't a bad idea. Milk thistle is awesome. Antioxidants help the liver neutralize more toxins. So, you know, cleanse and nourish the body. It's not a very complex thought or idea, but it seems to make people more, you know, pathogen resistant, okay, because you're moving out toxins, you're putting nutrition in, and the body's able to heal itself. So I knew that the moment I was stepped into herb school, and that's the way I went with the products that Apothecary Herbs makes. We focused on immune system, and we focused on organ cleansing. So those two things just by themselves can help you sidestep a lot of problems. And if you have no idea how to use immune-boosting herbs or herbs to cleanse the system and help pathogens have a free flow out faster so they don't hang around and cause a problem, well, then ask for a free product catalog, and all your cleanses are listed in order and how you would do them. If you want to learn more about cleansing, get the Power Herbs book. There's a whole chapter on that. If you want to go to the website and just get the quick, you know, bite-sized synopsis on cleansing, go to the healthy section on thepowerherbs.com. It's called Healthy Guidelines. Just click on that, and you'll learn. You'll learn how to do immune boosting. You'll learn how to do organ cleansing. You'll learn how to store your herbs. You'll learn a whole lot of things that empower you, and you can stay away from the white coats. That's the whole idea, staying away from the white coats. I think modern medicine's great for trauma, for stabilizing people that have been, you know, traumatized, accidents, injuries, but, you know, they don't tend to cure anything because disease management's more lucrative. So you know how to do it. God's good herbs here, medicine, healing for the, you know, the nations, that's what it's for. And we got his assurance on that. And he's the master chemist. So everything that he makes is the way it should be. So thepowerherbs.com. So if you want some pristine herbs that are certified organic to Tilth standard, they're aged and cold pressed to protect the potency of the herb and its strength, its life force, if you will, then pick up a catalog, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. If you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs, okay? Had some people say recently, you know, your top quality herbs were a big game changer for me. Yeah, there's a big difference in quality. And so be a savvy consumer. Download our 9-question sheet, whether you buy our stuff or not. You will be a savvy consumer when you start to buy supplements out there. You'll be more choosy about the quality, and you'll put your money where your dollars need to count. All right, Let's see. We got a few minutes. A few, for real. Let me just, let's see. We got some highlights here on how the FDA drug company has a checklist, right? They have a checklist they use when they review new drugs for clinical human trials. So their checklist is something like this. Does the drug affect the body as stated? So for an example would be, does it lower blood pressure like the drug says it will? They also check the drug dosage and frequency of use, as well as they review any of the side effects that are listed that have been submitted to them for review. And also, here's the thing. They don't worry about how they can avoid the side effects. They worry about how they can manage the side effects. Side effects is a secondary disease that you get from a drug. So they don't want to avoid that. They want to manage it. I think that's interesting. Also, they look at how the body breaks down the chemicals in the drug and if there's any accumulation for toxic effect. And they also check the drug interactions with foods, beverages, and other medications to see if they can identify any problem areas. And lastly, the overall rating of the drug effectiveness is looked at for marketability. Market approval, you know, it all comes down to the dollars, doesn't it? So there's that data review process that the FDA has. It's a two-tiered thing, where they get drug approvals under the Prescription Drug User Free Act of 1992. So the standard and the priority review process usually took years, but they can fast track now drugs within less than 6 months. They can get them through for approval probably just in 60 days. They can get a drug approved, especially if they think it's really necessary, like, I don't know, a vaccine. Or something like your bat vaccine. We're gonna have a bat pandemic. You watch. If you missed the show on the bat vaccine, please hit the archives because it's there. Yeah, they've dug up a bat virus. It's kind of similar to the SARS virus that'll just like it likes to just, you know, attack your lungs and replicate there. Yeah, yeah. You used to just infect bats or animals. Bats would bite, but now. Now they say it infects humans. How do you suppose that happened? Well, listen to the show, and you'll find out how that came to be. So now they're talking about a bat vaccine. And they're not going to go to all the trouble of making a bat vaccine and not be able to sell it to hundreds of thousands of people, right? So they're going to create a bat pandemic. You watch. So they can sell you a vaccine. Yeah, create the problem, sell you the solution. That's how it's working. Yep, 75% of the diseases, the major ones, in the last 115 years have all come from animals. How do you suppose that happened? Oh, yeah, we're supposed to believe it was global warming and international travel that created that problem. I don't think so. I think some scientists in the lab decided, you know, let's make a bioweapon. Let's take the virus from a green monkey and see what we can do with that. Oh, it's called AIDS. It's what it is. I know I could go on, but I'm out of time. Hey, if you have a health topic you'd like me to discuss on the show, just send me an email. I'll try to include it. And, you know, we got Thanksgiving next week, so I won't be with you. It's Turkey Day, but I will miss you terribly. But I will be here Tuesday, so join us for Tuesday's broadcast. And then... don't eat too much. You know, kind of watch that overeating. If you're worried about it, get some gentian root. It'll keep you from overeating. Powerherbs.com, you know. It'll help you with all that discomfort from overeating. All right, thepowerherbs.com. Give them a visit. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician if you dare before using any product or care. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, be well.